Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
On today's show, comedian Steph Broadbridge joins me to discuss her new show, Best Dog Joke Ever. My name is Justin Hamilton, and there's no fleas on this guy here on Big Squid. Welcome to the show. It's nice to have your company again, and what a treat we have for you today. First time on the podcast, Steph Broadbridge is a comedian that I performed with so many times in Sydney, and I've just kind of been friends with it for a long time. And we were having a chat recently when I bumped into her at the Comedy Store, and I was like, you got to come on the podcast, because I've known her for quite a while now, and I realized I didn't know that much about how she started or where she began and what got her into comedy and all of those questions. And so, you know, this is how comedians communicate. Why chat about it if you don't have a microphone and you're recording it? But I thought it would be good for you to hear her story, and she is going to be performing her new show, Best Dog Joke Ever, at the upcoming festival. So I thought this might be an opportunity for you to get a read on her if you haven't heard of her before. And if you have heard of Steph and seen her perform, you can find out what she's up to next. So it's a fun chat, and she is a delight. So I hope you enjoy this as well. Yeah, why don't we just keep it simple for the moment? I'll swing by at the end of the podcast to let you know what's coming up, and then we will go from there. But for the meantime, let's bring in Steph. I had a moment when I was watching you perform at the Comedy Store last week, and you were fantastic, by the way. That was such a great gig.
Thanks.
I'm sure I should apologise that you had to endure Four Wine Hammo, who fucking gets too into some of his friends and bangs on about how much they liked about their set. But it was funny because I was watching you, and then I was talking to our mutual friend Carl Donnelly, and I realised that I can't remember when I first met you. I feel like we've been friends for a while, but it feels even longer than that, because I just remember. I'm curious because I want to know what you remember.
Yeah,
I just remember us performing all the time together, because when I first met you, you were the
she's done 350 gigs for the year, girl. Do you know what I mean? Like, that, and that's kind of who you were. And I was just like, oh, yeah, here's Steph again, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But can you remember when we first met?
I don't know. I think it might have been like my first Comedy Store run.
Yeah. Oh, well, I'm probably remembering the same run.
Which I think
run.
Was 2018.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's funny, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I think we've just performed together so much in so many different areas that then it suddenly all blends together.
Yeah.
I was always really impressed with that. And I guess we're jumping ahead a little bit. But how many gigs did you – what was the record for amount that you knocked off in a year?
It's not that impressive, really. I did like 387 or something 1 year. But I usually do about that, like between 370 and 380.
Like, I think that is really impressive.
I don't think so.
You don't?
No.
Wow. I think I'd go insane if I did that many gigs.
Oh, I have.
Yeah, right.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. But it's out of necessity for me.
Right.
Yeah.
Because you're working on the craft.
Yeah, working on the craft. And I get so scared.
Right.
That if I make it part of my daily routine, it's less scary.
Yeah, interesting.
So that's mostly why I do that much.
When did you first start? When was your first year?
It was the 30th of March 2016.
Yeah, great.
Yeah.
Ah, hang on a sec. I reckon... So I only know this because of my mum, who... Mm-hmm. You know, mums are good with dates. Like, right. My mum will just randomly... Hey, it's been 13 years since your second cousin died. And you go, cool. Yep, no worries. Yeah. You know, hey, would have been Sidney Poitier's birthday today if he was still alive. You go, how the fuck do you remember that? But anyway, I reckon my first gig was 30th of March 1994. So
wow.
I think we share a date. That's pretty cool.
We've got an anniversary coming up.
Yeah, we have. We have. We should do a joint party or something like that. It'll be the two of us. No one else gives a shit.
No
but
one cares.
So what were you doing before you got into stand-up?
Oh, millions of things. I tried to be a muso for a while.
Right.
I tried advertising for a little bit.
Okay.
Graphic design.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. Bunch of stuff.
Yeah. So you just always had a creative bent?
I think so.
Yeah, and trying to find the avenue or the avatar for your voice to kind of find its way to come out.
I think I just wanted to do something that I didn't hate for money. That was it.
That is a really good aim,
yeah.
Right? Were you creative in high school?
Oh, a little bit. Mostly just band, choir stuff.
Right.
Singing, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Playing instruments.
Oh yeah, play flute, piano.
Yeah, if you'd been a muso, what kind of music would you have been hoping to do?
Well, I did like a jazz degree at ANU.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
But that's just because you can't do a whatever music you want degree. You have to pick.
Can't do a pop rock.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
So, but I loved jazz, but I wanted to be a country singer.
Really?
I still do.
Yeah. 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 What is it about country music that's so appealing?
It's just like the closest to blues that white people can get away with. Like, if I could sing blues, I would, but I just don't have the vocals and the soul. And
right.
The,
yeah.
Whereas country has that same kind of earthy feel that makes, yeah.
What about, yeah, that, so that's interesting. What about... because, you know, in the 60s, there was the British blues explosion where mm-hmm. all those English artists who were influenced by American blues,
yeah.
because and American blues wasn't getting played in the States. And they did a good job of channeling that type of music. What do you think stops you from being able to sing the blues? Has there not been enough heartache in your upbringing?
Is I think it it's a couple of things, yeah.
Yeah.
But I think what happened was I listened to Donny Hathaway and I just went, no, I can
right.
never do that.
Right, right.
Never.
Yeah.
And practice is not going to get me there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And but what was it? What was it that you were hearing in Johnny Hathaway that you felt that you, obviously it appealed, but you realised you couldn't access?
It was just natural.
Right.
And I'm never natural.
Aren't you?
I'm always practice.
Right.
Sit at home, do the work.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You're develop. Yeah, it's not something like... Like, I've got a friend who... I've always made the joke, he's the most talented person I know, and that if you gave him a drill, 15 minutes later, he'd be a dentist. Whereas I would, you know, I would have to pick up the drill, work out, hang on, is this for a dentist or am I meant to build a pergola? And then I would have to work on it for many
Watch
years.
Watch a series of YouTube videos.
Yeah.
Phone a friend.
Yeah. So what am I doing here? Yeah.
Have you ever used a drill?
Yeah. Just putting it out there if anyone wants to come and help out. So you heard that and you just went, oh, okay, I can't do that. So was it a natural step to segue over to country, or did you try other different types of music and that was the one that felt the most natural?
I just love it.
Yeah.
My mum brought me up listening to Patsy Cline in the car, whether we wanted to or not. Willie Nelson. Yeah. It's just ingrained in us now.
Yeah. When you say us, do you...
Oh, my sister and I, yeah.
Yeah, right. Is your sister musically inclined?
She's very naturally musical, but she has no interest.
Oh, does that kind of drive you nuts or...
Sometimes.
Yeah.
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 But, you know, it's nice too for us not to have similar wants.
Well, it also means there's no rivalry, doesn't
exactly.
it?
Exactly.
Yeah. What does your sister do?
She has one of those important sounding jobs that has the word client in it.
You know what? That's all I need. Yeah. I don't need any more. I know exactly the job that you're talking about, even though I don't know what the job is.
Yeah.
So did you start playing country music when you were young, or did you, because you said you studied jazz. So how did that all work?
Oh, I sang country music. Yeah, through high school.
Yeah.
Loved it.
Yeah.
Any chance anyone would give me to sing karaoke.
Yeah.
Always sing country at karaoke.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just love it.
Yeah.
I can yodel, so.
You can yodel?
Yeah.
Great.
It's not a skill that comes in handy very often.
No. You might be the first person on however many podcasts I've recorded to say, I can yodel. And, like, probably legitimately back it up as well. So where did you go to school?
I went to Neutral Bay Primary School.
Which is?
In Neutral Bay.
Right, yep.
Yep, with Ben Elwood, who was in the year above me.
Oh, was he really?
Didn't know each other.
Yeah, how funny.
Yeah.
And so was there an opportunity to perform country music there, or was that... You know, when I was a kid, I was, you know, back in the long time ago, back in the 80s, I was into comic books. So you did not talk about comic books back then. Was country music something that you could talk about in the open, or was that your secret hidden skill that you kept to yourself?
You're allowed to sing if you're a girl.
Oh, right.
So that was okay.
Yeah.
I was allowed to sing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But country music, was that something that you could share with everyone?
Yeah, I mean, people made fun of me, but...
Right, yeah, that's kind of... Yeah. Yeah, people knew I read comics and hung shit on me for that.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what I mean,
It's really lame. I mean, it's cool now, kind of, but when I liked it, it was very not cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of makes... Are you like me, where I get a little bit annoyed now that comics are mainstream, and I'm like, ugh, so boring. I was in on it when you all hated it.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
I can remember the moment I had... An AFL player that I'd met through random friends say to me, the problem with the Andrew Garfield Spider-Man is they don't use the line, with great power comes great responsibility, which is, you know, Peter Parker's ethos. And I, in my head, was thinking, why do you know that? Go and kick a footy.
Yeah.
That's my thing. So you were performing country music? Were you going to performances? Were you going to fairs?
I did a couple of singing at Stepford's, which were awful because it was a competition. But it was just to...
Get it out there.
Sing, yeah.
Yeah.
Any school assemblies, if they'd let me. Yeah, anytime I was allowed.
Yeah.
I would sing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then was there a point where you thought, maybe I can make a living from this, or was the first one?
From four onwards.
Oh, right, yeah.
I was pretty sure that I was just going to be a famous singer.
Yeah, right, yeah. Great. So was it Patsy Cline and that? Were they the role models, or was there someone more contemporary?
No, not really. I didn't really know what that meant. I just...
Right.
Yeah. I just saw other people made it a job, so maybe I could.
Maybe I could.
Yeah.
That's fair enough.
Yeah.
I think that is a very natural progression for people who are creative to see something being done and go, well, maybe I can do that.
Yeah.
So you go towards it.
Yeah.
So yeah,
you don't know.
you don't know. Like, it's better to not know, right?
I think so. Yeah, totally.
I am so relieved that I started comedy at the age I did because I was too young to realize how scared I should be.
Mm.
It wasn't until I had heaps of experience, a standard amount of experience,
yeah,
that I suddenly went, fucking hell. Like, I look back on stuff that I did in the 90s. I'm a heaps better comedian than I was back then, and I would not do those gigs.
Mm. Yeah, right. Yeah, I guess it is kind of scary being bad at something at 40.
Right. Not bad. What?
Well, whenever I started, 35, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, you're just inexperienced. It's not bad. It's just you just don't
know.
Yeah,
but you do know that you're bad.
Right. Yeah, you're a little bit more self-aware.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah.
I used to be in a duo. We used to open for a punk rock clown band.
Wow.
I think that's insane now. Like, I...
That's like, cool.
Good on those young boys. But yeah. What the fuck?
That's we'd so
come out,
cool.
Come out with our it's acoustic guitar with our jangle, 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 jangle.
Yeah, you see, know? I was listening to the episode you did with Cam James.
Oh, yes.
I didn't know that you were in a musical comedy.
Oh, yeah. There was like, it honestly was last century.
Yeah, right.
What a crazy sentence, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's why I get there's still that part of me that really enjoys musical comedy because, you know, that makes me feel a bit wistful.
It's fun.
Yeah, it is fun. So you're performing country music. So mm-hmm. then, how do we segue into jazz? Was that because you can't? There's nowhere you can kind of study country, is there? Like, yeah. You just perform country music.
Well, I also liked jazz music. Like, yeah. Ella Fitzgerald was yeah. one of my favorites. So I just sort of, and I had a very gravelly singing voice even at four.
Right.
So I just. You know, jazz, I could kind of get away with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I just auditioned for that and did that.
Yeah. What's the, like, there's such kind of different musical genres. There must be some sort of overlap. Is there something between the two that you can, I learnt this in country and then I could apply this to jazz or vice versa? Or was it a completely different language?
Yeah. I don't know. It's a different attitude, I think.
Right.
I don't. I'm terrible. I don't really listen to music, which should have been a sign that I didn't want to actually.
Right. You don't listen to music?
Not really. But yeah, jazz is. The idea of jazz seems to be that your job is to make the audience not know what's going on.
Right.
And if you can trick them, but yep. still keep the beat,
yep.
then you win.
Right, right, yeah.
Yeah.
Taken by surprise, whereas country is you want them to be into a
yeah, specific rhythm. Yeah, I'm telling a story.
Yeah.
And I want you to feel it and relate and we all share this experience together.
Yeah.
Whereas jazz is, I hate you.
Yeah.
I'm cleverer than you. Here's proof.
Yeah. That is such a funny but explanation, but it also suddenly explains a lot of jazz shows I've gone
yeah.
to. I'll have to ask... I've got a friend who lives in New York, Nick Hempton, who mm-hmm. plays saxophone. He's a great jazz musician. I'll have to ask him, hey, have I been in the audience and you've been secretly hating me the whole time? that's interesting. So when did you write your first original song? Were you in primary school, high school?
I think high school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was country?
It was pop.
Pop, yeah.
Yeah. It was shocking.
Shock, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can you remember, like, topics or themes that you were exploring in your prototype pop country career?
I think it was just like a, this is so lame. I think it was like a nice song about my sister.
Ah.
Yeah.
That's really sweet. Yeah. Not unrequited love, not I'm going to get back at that man. It's just like, my sister's ace.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's cute. That's really cute. You should find them. You should find those songs and redo them for comedy.
Oh, maybe. Yeah.
There's something very funny about that. It's very... It suggests that you and your sister are super tight.
Yeah, I mean, we are. Yeah. Now, but I was a nightmare. So I think it was probably like, sorry.
Oh, it was an apology. Okay, now yeah. I get it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. The apology pop song.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, you were obviously into music as a youngster.
Mm-hmm.
Were you into comedy as well?
I loved it. Mm. But it never occurred to me to do it.
Yeah. Did you follow comedians or were there comedy shows that you were into?
I saw a few things I saw. I loved the British stuff.
Yeah.
And then also Mel Brooks.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah. Great. So when you say the British stuff, are we talking what? Blackadder?
Yeah. Black Books as well. Yeah. That kind of, you know.
Yeah.
Anything really.
Yeah. So, but at this point, you're just enjoying comedy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then when you leave high school, you go and study jazz.
Mm-hmm.
And then what makes you, like, did you complete that degree or did you at some point go?
No, I did not.
No, you did not. Right. Okay. Well, what made you leave jazz and the study of it?
I know. I did the 3 years. I just didn't pass.
Right.
yeah. But then I just did music for a while.
Right. In what forms? Like, were you in bands? Were you...
Yeah, I was in one band. We were in a band called The Overhead Project.
Great. Great name.
And the premise was that we had to write songs that were too hard for us to play.
Amazing.
Yeah. Unlistenable.
Yeah.
But very talented musicians. I'm pretty sure every other muso in that band now has a successful career as a musician.
Right.
Except me.
Well... Maybe they just stuck with it longer. Like it's
yeah, they also just were really good, you know. Right. Yeah. I don't know.
That sounds like one of those 70s art bands. Do you know what I mean? Who we're going to play all the songs that are beyond our capabilities.
We got one gig a year and it was the guitarist's parents' Christmas party. Wow. But it paid really well.
Right. Well, that's 95% of the battle.
Yeah.
So you were in that band and you were performing by yourself or?
Yeah, just I'd had a couple of residencies. The cool thing about doing studying jazz in Canberra was when you left.
Oh, you were in Canberra.
Yeah.
Yes.
When you left the jazz degree, you were like the best jazz musician in Canberra.
Right.
So it was pretty easy to get
gigs.
Work. Yeah. So I had a few sort of residencies at cafes and bars and stuff. And then when I came back to Sydney, I had a similar thing.
Right. What were you playing in the
Just
in the
singing cafe? With a guitarist.
Yep.
Background music in bars. It was pretty soul-destroying, honestly. Like,
right.
It's not performing. It's the opposite.
Right. It's providing music.
Yeah.
Were you singing covers?
Both, yeah.
Yeah,
Didn't
right.
matter.
Didn't matter.
Noise.
Yeah, yeah.
Nice noise.
Were there any covers that you particularly enjoyed or, you know, would your partner suggest we've got to sing this one and you'd be like,
I love the jazz standards because we could stretch that out to 10 minutes.
Yeah.
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 Just keep repeating it and then do like a 4-chorus solo. And
yeah, right. How long were these? Was like each gig like on average?
2 hours.
Yeah. Far
or
out.
Or 2 40-minute sets.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's more about just killing time.
Did you, surely, like I've always prided myself on if I'm somewhere and there is someone in that similar boat who's performing, mm-hmm. if they finish a song, I will turn around and clap.
Yeah.
Was that something, do you, like if I'd been in the audience and I turn around and clap, would you appreciate that or would you be a bit like, can you stop drawing attention to us and let us get on with it?
I would have adored if they clapped.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good. Okay. Yeah. I just wanted to make sure that I'm doing the right thing.
No, that would have been the best.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what brought you back from Canberra to Sydney?
I originally was from Sydney.
Oh, yeah, but it was just coming home or
yeah,
was
just
it?
Coming home.
Yeah, okay. So then how long did you pursue the music side of things?
Gosh, 20 years?
Yeah, right. And then was there specific points that you wanted to hit or that you did hit or what was sort of happening within that time?
I don't know. I was just very insecure. I still am, but I'm better now.
Right.
And so I wasn't very good at dealing with difficult situations. Mm-hmm. So if I tried something and it didn't work, I was very quick to give up.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's, you know, sometimes...
And you can't do a job like that if you're...
You kind of need to be able to process what you've experienced as quickly as possible and put it behind you to move forward.
Yeah.
Are you fascinated by people that we perform with or people that we've performed with in the past where you see them essentially shit on the stage and then walk off and they're like, boo, nailed it. And it's like,
yeah,
wow. Like if I'd done that gig, I would have set myself on fire and just walked straight off the stage into traffic.
Yeah. I'm...
I kind of admire it.
Oh, my God, me too. Yeah. I'm obsessed with those people.
Yes.
I love it so much because on one hand, it's like, imagine just being that confident.
Yeah.
And then, but on the other hand, it's like, what if they think that they did well then now I can't trust my judgment of how I did.
Oh yeah, and that's a terrible way. And I say this as someone who has been that person where I fully understand exactly where you're coming from. Where it's like, well, if they don't realize that was awful, have I walked off stage going, yeah, I feel like I did pretty well tonight, and everyone's side eyeing me, go, fuck, Hammo,
exactly,
he is terrible.
Yeah.
But I'm working on Dancing with the Stars at the moment, and even though I can't mention any of the stars who are on it and how they're going because I'm contractually obliged not to, but when we turn off the mics, I'm more than happy to dish the gossip to you. there's been a couple of people where you see them dance and it's, you know, like good on them, but it's not great. And then they talk so confidently about what they just did and it's like, yep, that's why you're on the show and that's why I would never be on the show.
Yeah, I would love to just watch people who can dance, personally.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be great?
Yeah, invariably, it's you end up watching the partner.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then the ones who take you by surprise really...
Oh, it's fun.
...take you by surprise.
Yeah, and it's great TV.
Yeah, and then the others, you just kind of go, yeah, no, I'm just going to watch him. Mm. I'm just going to watch whoever that is the partner.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's something I want to get back to with music because you did 20 years of it.
Yeah.
And there's something really fascinating about you would try something and you would lose confidence and then take a step back. But you did that for 20 years.
Yeah.
So there's a fortitude to you that you might not have realized at the time. Because a lot of people... Like, how many... You've hosted Raw Comedy, right? And you see...
I've been there, yep.
Yeah, well, but you've seen someone who gets up who thinks they can do stand-up.
Yeah.
And maybe they... Maybe sometime down the road they could, but they do this one gig and it just does not go well. And you never see them again. You can see it halfway through the set. They'll never tell another joke.
Yeah.
So you must have had something in you that kept the belief going.
I don't know. Loved it.
Right. So even though you would have a confidence setback, the love of it was so much greater that you would jump back in.
Yeah. So karaoke, anyone can do it. Mm. So even when it wasn't going very well and I wasn't getting any work, I could still do 3 nights of karaoke a week.
Yes. Yeah.
So that technically counts.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Was there... Do you have a standard? Like, do you have your go-tos?
At karaoke?
Yeah.
Yeah, I sing Pony by Kacey Chambers.
Amazing. Yeah.
Everyone hates it.
But they're not the ones
singing
it.
It's a great song, but it's not a crowd pleaser. And also, I can sing and people hate that at karaoke.
Yeah. Who's this goddamn professional getting up here and bringing some class to this joint?
Yeah.
There's some songs that I particularly enjoy seeing someone pick that they don't realize how the song actually goes. Like, so what's the feels right? The music sounds better with you. You know, that song.
Yes.
I love that people don't realize that there's only kind of like three lines in the song that get repeated with heaps of music in between. And I love watching the person who's up there who doesn't realize it, who just has to kind of stand there and jiggle because they don't quite know what else to do.
Deal with the 16-bar break.
Yeah.
Nine Inch Nails closer because they think, oh, yeah, I'm going to sing, I'm going to fuck you like an animal. And then you see, like, there's heaps of music, so you just see them. Oh, well, I did the bit that I really wanted to do and now there's nothing else to do. So there's that, and then there is the person who knows the chorus to Take On Me or Creep but doesn't realise just how high it goes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I actually went to karaoke last night.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there was exactly all those things you just described.
It's great. It's really great. I'm also mad for the film clips, especially if they're incongruous.
Yeah.
Yeah. My favourite that I ever saw was Tears in Heaven by Eric Clapton. Mm-hmm. And the film clip was a woman with a camel in the desert.
Is that a job, pairing up music with the footage? Like, it must be, right?
Well, if it is, A, they're either not very good or they're fantastic.
Yeah. They're
and excellent. B, how can we get in on this cool stuff?
I'd love that job.
I would too. what did you do last night? Did you do some Casey Chambers last night?
Would you believe they got up to my song and finished, so I missed out.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I was there till midnight.
What time did you get there?
Like 10:30.
And they didn't get to your song?
Yeah.
Jesus. That's not good.
It's all right. I'll go back next Thursday.
Yeah, but how many songs did they have? Or were people
so
doing
many.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
So it's where was this?
Newtown Hotel.
Oh, okay. I'll get in touch with them afterwards to ask for a little bit of money for the free advertising. Yeah, right. Oh, that's a bummer.
Mm.
Damn. Did you? Were you with friends? Did they get to sing or?
No, I was on my own.
Oh, no. What do you like seeing? Do you like seeing someone who can sing or do you like seeing someone who can't sing who really goes for it?
Both.
Both.
That's what I love about karaoke.
Yeah, same.
One girl sang Zombie
and just
nailed it.
Yeah, right.
And it was glorious. And I love that because I imagine that she wants to be a muso and probably works in marketing, you know, like.
Yes.
And so for her, how important that little moment is.
Yeah.
So I enjoy that with her.
Yeah.
And then also just five dudes sang that Boys to Men song and they just sang it so badly with so much passion and joy and just a group of men singing their hearts out. There's just something so magical about that.
Right. Right.
I just love it.
Yeah. But what they did to the song was less Boys to Men and more Boys to Prison.
Oh, yeah. It was unlistenable, but.
But they were into it.
They loved it.
And they gave it a crack.
Yeah.
How old?
I want to say mid-20s.
Mid-20s, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Still got hope in their heart and passion in their eyes. What about contemporary music? Is there anything that you're into at the moment? Were you swept away with the Taylor Swift phenomenon that happened and hit Sydney recently?
No, I have I don't know how to feel about Taylor Swift.
Mm.
Because I don't really like her music.
Yeah.
And I don't relate to her songs.
Yeah. Which is perfectly fine.
But I also, like, if one woman has to speak for all women, I'm glad it's her. Because she's using that platform to do some really great stuff. So,
she, I loved that, you know, the story about how her old manager owns all her rights. So she's just re-recording her album.
Exactly.
And I just, there is something, I think I know one Taylor Swift song.
Mm-hmm.
And that's about it. This is ostensibly, I read an article years ago about when she was a kid. And nobody wanted to sell her merch. So, you know, she'd go out and sell her merch herself and, you know, kept all the rights and, you know, was just kind of savvy in that regard. And I thought, oh, that's pretty cool. And then the Kanye West at the Grammys thing, stepping in front of her. And I thought she handled that well.
Yeah.
Then she did Shake It.
Yeah.
Then our dear friend Cal Wilson told me that she took her niece to see Taylor Swift last time she was here, I think, and talked about how magical the experience was. And then she re-recorded all these songs and then she was dating a guy who plays NFL.
Yeah.
That's all I know.
All right.
And I can't tell you any of her songs because it's just not in my orbit. And so I find it really fascinating. And I'm into people being into stuff, so it's not looking at stuff and going, oh, what's that? It's just funny to see something that's so massive and so important and possibly one of the biggest things that's ever happened in music.
Yeah.
And I can only tell you one song.
I know. I do feel very sort of separate from it.
Yeah.
But it's also like, it's a really nice, wholesome vibe coming out of her concerts.
Right.
There's a lot of people just being kind of sweet and
yeah.
sober and
yeah.
singing along, listening back to the secret recording they did on their phone on the train. You know, like there's a real, it's kind of nice. Like it's hard to shit on it when it's all positive.
So many of my friends took their young sons as well. It's not just young girls.
A lot of kids going,
My friend sent me a photo of her youngest son and her going, and he bedazzled his white T-shirt with TS on it. And, and it was like, he's 11. And I was like, well, that is adorable.
That is so cute.
Yeah. Well, you know, like when we were younger, you know, there was like, there were, you know, I've talked about this on the podcast before. Everything's dispersed to such an extent. Like when I was younger, I never watched Melrose Place, but I kind of knew some shit that was going on with it because there was only three commercial television stations.
Yeah.
And even if I wasn't into a musical artist, I could have named half a dozen of their songs because they'd be on Video Hits
or they're on
Rage or they're on the radio. And now because everything's so dispersed, someone can be the biggest artist in the world and I know one song.
Yeah, exactly.
And I reckon I only know that song because I worked with Rove on his commercial radio job for 18 months. And maybe if I'd not worked on that,
you wouldn't even
maybe
know
I wouldn't even know Shake It.
Yeah, right. So interesting.
Do you ever, as someone who loves music and is into music, do you see someone initially like Taylor Swift and try to understand it even if it doesn't resonate initially with you?
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Always.
Yeah.
Yeah. If people love something, I need to know why.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then how much of a, like, how far into something will you go before? So as an example, I knew of Harry Styles, but, the initial stuff was just not on my radar, boy band stuff. I was too old for it, not my thing. Then I saw him in the movie Dunkirk. I thought he was really good. I was like, oh, man, this kid can act. And then he brought out his first album and I was like, I listened to the first single and I thought it kind of had kind of like a 70s pop sheen to it. And I thought, oh, I quite like that song. And I listened to the album like three times. I went, this album's great.
Yeah,
it is
right.
Not for me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm too old for this.
Yes.
But I respect it. I understand why people are getting into it.
Yeah.
But I'm too old and it's not connecting.
Exactly. Especially if something doesn't connect with me and does with a lot of people. I find that fascinating.
Yeah. Yeah. It's
it causes a lot of self-reflection.
Yes.
Like, what am I missing?
Yeah. Yeah, sometimes you just got to, it's just not for me.
Yeah, but I'll spend a bit of time on it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Find out.
Exactly.
Because it might be for you.
Exactly.
I think the worst sentence I've ever heard from any of my friends, like apart from terrible things.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
But
in comedy?
Yeah, 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 yeah. But I just mean from everyday sentences.
Right,
The worst sentences I've ever heard from everyday comments from good friends is when their kids are talking about something and then suddenly they do the old person thing of, oh, here they go. Here we go. K-pop. Gonna have to hear about K-pop now, And it's like I feel like that's like the oldest thing
Yeah.
Like, that's like giving up on youth and vitality of some sort when you just go, yep, here we go.
Yeah.
Like,
how like, quickly you forget.
Yeah, my friends, you know, their daughters love K-pop.
Mm-hmm.
They talk to me about K-pop all the time. I'm more than happy to hear about it.
Yeah, it's fascinating.
Yeah, like it is fascinating, yeah. Isn't it? And it's like, I don't get it. Like, you know, it doesn't land for me, but I can see through their eyes why it appeals and what they like about it.
Do you think it's a fear thing?
Absolutely.
Is that what that response is?
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's interesting.
I think you're completely right about that. It's like, I don't get that.
Yeah.
And it's
scary.
Yeah, and it's a you have to have a level of comfort with your vulnerability to be able to say, nope.
Yeah.
But that's like that with, you know, how many times have, like with a friend or like with a reviewer or something, someone has been in the middle of a comedy show where the comedian is killing and then someone tells you they're not funny.
Yeah, it's like, well,
they are. They're just not funny for you.
Yeah.
You know, I've sat in 2,000 seaters, absolutely bamboozled by everyone's laughing. But they're all laughing.
Yeah, I know. I think we need genres in comedy.
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah, there should be... there's not... Everything's a bit of a... Like, there's kind of the beauty of comedy, but also can kind of work against it as well. Like, if you get the mishmash balance correct, it's great.
Yeah.
But if you don't,
it's
a mishmash.
I think it's too big now. I think it's too big to just be comedy.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the... Because there's, you know, like there's everything from someone who pounds out a joke every 15 seconds to someone who's more measured to storytellers to absurdism to, you know, people who are out there to be edgelords to, you know, people who are ride on.
But I'm not going to enjoy heavy metal if I wanted to see an opera, you know?
It's a really good point.
So why do that to us?
I'm gonna go and see a night of music. What was it like? Well, the MC sang some country songs.
Yeah.
Then he brought on a heavy metal band.
Exactly.
And then there was a girl doing some pop songs. And
it's like, I don't know, you know, I mean, I get that that's the gig, but also sometimes when I look out in an audience and it's a Bucks night and I'm like, I don't think my jokes about gender politics are what you want for your evening, boys. And right. I can't do anything about that now.
Right. Because this is who I am.
It's too late and I've been booked.
Yeah. So let's just do our best.
Yeah.
Do our best. So what was the incentive? What was the moment where you went, you know what, I'm going to give comedy a go?
Oh, I didn't really do that. I just sort of accidentally stumbled upon a... open mic that was comedy, thinking it was music.
Right.
Yeah.
So you came in with your... Yeah. Like, you booked yourself?
I just signed up on the night.
Right.
It was a Mug and Kettle.
Yeah.
But both industries arrogantly refer to their events as open mics.
Oh, right. Yes. And don't bother to point out...
Yeah. There's a picture of a microphone.
Yep. That classic poster image.
Yeah. So I'd been doing a few sort of open mic singing nights.
Right.
And I thought that was that.
And so you've got to talk me through this night because you're there wondering everyone's going to be singing a cappella, like, because no one else has got an instrument, right?
Yeah, but you don't know that because the comics aren't there. They're all in the secret green room drinking or in the beer garden or wherever they're going.
Right.
You know.
So when were you on in the night?
I feel like I was about 11th or something.
Right.
Which I now know is a pretty good spot for an open mic. But back then I didn't know to value that.
Yes. No, of course not. How many acts? 20?
Something like that. I brought three friends.
Yeah.
Well, my sister and two friends, so I couldn't bail.
Yeah. When do you realise what is going on?
First, when there's an MC.
Yeah, great. You didn't think maybe it was just like a funny MC who then would keep the music rolling along or did he?
No.
Right.
It was Claudia Ray from Memory.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
she was great.
Talk me through the realization, your sister and the two friends. Like what's the conversation that suddenly happens amongst the four of you?
Well, I can't even remember. They were sitting down and I was like signing up and everything. I might even have known, like they might even have said something to me. I think the time, how long you got on stage is what triggered it, because they said everyone gets 4 minutes. And in singer-songwriter nights, you get like, sometimes you get 20 minutes.
Yes.
So I was like, that's really short.
Wow. And I get to do what, one song?
Yeah. I'm like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
And then they're like, did that look... You know, they give new comics when you're like 20 minutes as if you've got 20, you know.
But yeah, right. Yeah, and you're not even understanding like, that look.
I don't know what's happening.
Yeah, why are you giving me that squinty face?
Yeah, and then it was like, obviously, comedy. So, like, oh, okay, crap. So,
yeah.
I had a song that used to get a couple of laughs in the singer-songwriter night. So, I just did
right.
that.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
And what was that song?
Oh, God. It was called How Am I Still Single?
Right.
Which I've obviously... I've now learned it's hack, but at the time I didn't know that was a thing.
Nobody knows
what
hack is when they start.
And I still stand by the song. I still think it's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And who gives a shit what people think is hack? You know, comedians thinking something is hack is like there's only hack if you do it like other comedians. But if you every topic can be hack.
Yeah.
But it's just what sensibility do you bring to it? How do you put it through your prism?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that was lucky that you had a... Can I... You know, so you've triggered something for me. Okay. I was asked to do... before I started doing stand-up, but I was asked to do... come in and read a story at something.
Mm-hmm.
At a night... Like, I was, like, pretty young, like 16, 17, and... in Adelaide, and I had the opposite to you. I turned up and thought it was a kind of like a fun, you know, fun story night.
Yeah.
And everyone who got up told stories about how their father didn't love them and that their mother was a heroin addict and this is why they were abused as a child, and everyone was crying at the end of it. And I think I had a story about an imaginary rabbit.
That's great.
And I can remember, I have not thought about this in like over 30 years, like the blind panic of, oh, I'm at the wrong gig.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know how to get out of this because at this point I'm too young to know how to pivot to just some other story. I can only go with what I've got printed out in front of me, but typed out.
I bet it went well.
I think, look... My memory is telling me right now it went well.
Yeah.
It was probably a relief.
It felt, but it was a relief for the audience as well.
Yeah.
Because that's why I started to try and put little jokes in stuff.
Yeah.
Because those singer-songwriter nights, it's just the same girl over and over again with an asymmetrical haircut singing about how her boyfriend dumped her. And I was like, oh, God, you know. And the crowd doesn't really listen in a singer night. You don't have to listen.
Yeah.
To music. You have to listen to comedy. There's a rule.
Yeah.
But you don't with music. So they can chat and talk. So I'm like, oh, if I put a couple of jokes in, they might give me some attention.
Oh, yeah. So the instinct was always there. Yeah. Great.
So it probably was a bit of a highlight for people.
Yeah.
After four dead dad stories to just talk about something.
About a
bit light.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're right. So how did the song go?
Well, I mean, you know, I thought it went well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you like it probably did go well.
And it was good because everyone was bombing. Everyone.
Right.
And I was so scared. And people always say Raw, like when Raw comedy's their first gig.
Yeah.
And I just think, oh no. I'm so glad my first gig was everyone was doing badly because that meant it was okay if I did.
Right. Yes.
Because if 10 people before you just talk to silence, then it would be very easy to sing to silence.
Right. Yes. Yeah. At least you've got an automatic clap machine, right?
Yeah,
you've
got exactly. They'll clap at the end.
Yeah.
And I also sort of, it made it safe for it not to go well because it was fine that it didn't go well. The audience didn't leave. They weren't upset. No one was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it must have, but it must have gone well enough to like spark something. Did you immediately go out and find the next open mic comedy night or what happens from the accidental gig to the planned gig?
I went back the next week with a new song.
Great.
And then I went back the next week with a new song.
Great.
And then someone told me, you don't have to do that.
Right. But, you know, Once again, like, yeah, it's a similar experience to me, like, where we started off, we actually had a return audience. So there was a venue in Adelaide that had, like, it was packed every week. It was it was new. It was only been around for a few months. It always had, like, you know, 80 to 100 people in every gig. So, but the guy who ran it encouraged us to do new because it was a return audience.
Yes.
So we did, like, 8 weeks. We did 7 to 10 minutes for new for 8 weeks. And then he said, hey, do you want a headline? And we were like, fuck, now we have to come up with 25 minutes of new.
Whoa.
But we didn't.
Yeah.
We could have just done our best. Yeah. But we were like, oh, God, all right, well, we better work hard this week.
Yeah.
But you don't know any different.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I just did that for a while. And then I think my sixth gig bombed properly.
Right.
I mean, I'm sure all of them were technically bombing now, but...
No, I don't
know. The one that felt like a bomb was, like, the sixth one. And then... my instinct after that was, oh, I'd love another crack at that.
Oh, good. Yeah.
And I thought that's a good sign.
Yeah.
If I failed and want another go at it.
Yeah. So what do you think it was? Was there something almost like intellectually that you recognized that you could do better? Or is that what?
Yeah, I just wanted to decode it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I stayed and watched the whole show to see if anyone else did well, and a couple of people did, and then I tried to work out what they did that I didn't do and how to fix it. And
yeah. Who do you learn the most from? Comedians that you enjoy or comedians whose senses of humour are completely different?
I don't know. I think the ones that I love are the ones I learn the most from.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
I was always a bit fascinated by the people who had very different senses of humour to me, because it'd be like, how are they making that work?
Mm.
And then you can apply that as a skill
to
yourself.
I like the idea of trying to get all of the... I want to be able to do all the laughs.
Yes. Yeah.
Like, I want to collect them all.
Yeah. Yeah, collect all the laughs. Yeah. Yeah, what a great way of looking at it.
Yeah.
I love that. Yep, I got a groan today. I got a surprise.
Yeah, yeah. I want a rolling laugh. I want a laugh. Yeah. I want a giggle. I want a silly pun laugh. I want to be able to do all of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great. I love it. It's like a bingo card.
Yeah, and then when you come up with an idea, you've got all of these bag of tricks that you can put at the problem, so you're more likely to get that idea over the line.
Yeah. Because now it's like, if you get up and it's, you know, say we're at the store, we're doing a run at the store, and then you get that night that's the, you know, a little bit more male heavy and feels a little bit more bucksy. You know how to kind of, it's not even really changing material, but you just know how to temper your set and kind of change the tempo a little bit. And then you might have a night that's a little bit quiet, so you know how to pick up the energy. And then there's nights where you just know where to set yourself.
You got to do them all.
yeah absolutely. So what was the, when did you feel like you started to get a real handle on your voice? Because, you know, when you first start, it's just like throwing things at the wall.
I think I'm still trying to find it. I don't know if I ever will feel like that. I hope I do, but
you know, like, I think Louis C.K., R.I.P., you know.
Yeah.
how funny, how many male comedians did you have as a percentage whisper to you last time Louis C.K. came out and said, oh, when I saw Louis C.K.?
Oh, I saw them there.
Oh, you saw them there.
I had the female bathrooms all to myself.
That's so great. I was having quite a few say, oh, yeah, I saw Louis C.K. And I was being an arsehole. I was like, you saw Louis C.K.?
I'll own it. I went.
Yeah, it was great.
It was so good.
He's a very good comedian.
Yeah.
I saw him in the States a long time ago. He did a two-hour show in a 2,000-seater.
Yeah.
And it was weirdly one of the most intimate shows I've been in.
Oh, yeah, that's... I mean, I was right up the top of the balcony and it felt like he was talking to me. He's just incredible.
Yeah, yeah.
I like to think if I'd already seen him, I wouldn't have seen him after all the stuff. But, you know, we could all justify it, can't we?
Yeah, you know, I'm always... I have very specific ideas on if you're into someone and they have whatever in their past, that's up to you.
Yeah.
And it's up to me.
Yeah.
You know, it's like... But what I won't do is try and talk other people into being into it.
No.
But I'll be into it.
Yeah.
And I'll gladly be into it.
Yeah.
And I'll, you know, there's some artists that, for whatever reason, I can still disassociate that person mm-hmm. with their work. There's some people that I can't, you mm-hmm. know, there's like, but those artists we may differ on. You know, you might be able to disassociate this one, I might be able to disassociate that one, but I'm not going to try and talk you into my yeah, way, and I'm not going
exactly.
to get talked into yours. It is what it is.
It's just like, what food are you going to eat, you know?
Yeah.
Everyone's got a different animal line.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm a vegetarian. I get people apologising to me for eating meat all the time. I was like, I don't mind. Like, just
do whatever you want.
Put some pig on a fork and then stick it under my nose. That's all I don't need.
Yeah.
So, yeah. that's a very funny response, by the way, the whispering. Yeah, no, I saw all of them. Louis C.K. says it takes 15 years.
Right. Yeah, okay.
So do you, but you must feel that there is, the reason I'm asking this is because, mm-hmm. you know, because I write for other comedians on Question Everything yep. and I write for people on Dancing with the Stars and The Chase and that. And so I sometimes think of myself a little bit, my onstage persona as something separate.
Yeah.
It's not, but just from a writing point of view. And when I came up with that, Oppenheimer, Barbie, Mushroom Lady routine. Mm-hmm. When I first came up with it, I looked at it and went, yep, that's what Hamo says.
Yeah.
And I do
it's a very you bit.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, yep, that's me.
Ticks all the boxes.
Yeah. So do you have that yet? Or do you just kind of put things together and just see what works? Or do you put things together and go, yep, that's a Steph routine?
I don't know. I don't know what I do.
Right.
Yeah, I'm very contrary.
Yes.
So I like sort of trying to do the opposite of what's happening.
Yeah.
But it's not what's happening. It's just in my world, in my very small, tiny little Steph world.
Yeah.
If I see a lot of one thing, then I try to counterbalance that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so the reason I ask is because of, you know, the years that we've been performing together. Like, you know, everyone starts off as like a slab of marble.
Yeah.
And I feel like there's more definition than ever in your performance and who you are on stage.
I hope so.
Yeah. And that's what we were talking about at the Comedy Store, you know, with, you know, one of your later songs. You know, it's like, oh, this is, you know, you've carved out another piece and, yep, that's on the money.
Yeah, right. I like being brutal.
Yeah.
I like pushing it to the edge of brutality.
Well, you get away with it because, like Louis C.K., you got a good smile.
Yeah.
You can get away with so much shit with a good smile.
But it's not a fake smile. It's because I'm really enjoying saying a horrible thing.
Oh, yeah. No, I know. Yeah.
I don't think you can fake that smile.
No. You're enjoying the reaction.
Yeah.
You've got your bingo laugh card ready to go. And you're marking it off.
That is my favourite laugh to get, I think. So I do kind of, I'm more likely to seek that one out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's hilarious. Now, you have a new show this year?
Yeah.
Yeah. Can you tell us about it?
It's called Best Dog Joke Ever.
Yeah.
Named after a video that I was trolled very badly.
Right.
As a result of,
Right. How funny.
Yeah.
Trolling. How do you deal with that? I find it... I feel pretty removed from it if it ever kind of happens now. And but there was a period where at first it would be like, Jesus, someone's coming in hot.
Yeah. I don't know how to deal with it. How I dealt with it was I sort of took myself offline for about 9 months and wrote a show. So
yeah. Which is a really healthy way to
I don't know.
Break it down.
If it's healthy, but it helped me.
Is it all about that or is it? Yeah, right.
Written an hour about that.
Yeah.
Well, 55 minutes.
55, By the end of the run, it'll be 65.
Yeah.
You'll find more jokes and stuff. And it's interesting that you're going to be going back to that moment as well. So do you have any sort of defences put in mind to not get, you know, to enjoy the story and not get mired in the past emotion of it?
Well, I didn't really think I would be able to make it funny until I processed it, and that was my motivator to process it.
Yeah.
So I didn't wallow.
Yeah.
So that was sort of a little catalyst to try and be quite healthy
in
dealing with it.
Yeah.
was if you want to make this funny,
yeah,
you have to process it first.
Yeah.
Otherwise, right. you won't know what's funny about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how do you write a show? Do you sit down and have a rough idea of a start, middle, end, and then fill in the gaps, or do you just write down all your different thoughts and then find a through line? Like, how do you put together a show?
Yeah, I do. I like to start from scratch.
Yeah.
And then think about my favorite jokes at the moment.
Yep.
And think about if there's anything that they have in common.
Yep.
And try and explore that. Because, yep. I'm not telling you, but when you do all the club comedy stuff, you have to, the joke loses all of its essence sometimes.
Oh, yeah, because you kind of boil it down.
Yeah.
And there's, that's something, like I know exactly what you mean, because there's some routines that I look back on from previous shows and I can see, even if it did well in a show, I can see where it failed because I worked it in the clubs and it was almost like it was the wrong type of muscle, a muscular form for the show that was something completely different.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you do need those moments in the show, but I don't want the whole show to be that.
Yeah.
So, I try to just think, okay, when you originally wrote that joke, what was the idea?
Great.
And where did you wish you'd taken it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So, it's like you've got the confidence of working it in the clubs, but now you've also got the space within the context of a show to explore the idea more.
And you've got the vocabulary to sell it because you've figured out how to get everyone, well, not, it's never everyone, is it? But 80% of the room over the line.
Yeah.
So, you know... Yeah, because I find the setup the hardest part for me. So, getting the language to get the idea out clearly.
Interesting.
Yeah.
What is it about setups that is tricky? Do you?
I just find that. I assume too much. It's an amateur thing, and I'll hopefully develop past it.
Right.
But yeah, I tend to assume too much of other people. And I live on my own. I'm a very isolated person by choice. I like it. But it also means that I can't expect people to connect things that my brain connects. And just having to explain it and clearly and... Yeah. And if you have an idea that's... I wouldn't say original because nothing's original. But just a little bit outside of easy.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can I make a suggestion on something that is... So when I've worked with people and I try to apply this to myself, I think when you first come up with a routine, I think we do overcomplicate it at the start. And the way I try to process it and get other comedians to work on it is to imagine you've told me the routine already and we've talked it through.
Yeah.
And then I'll say, how does it start again? And your instinct, because you know that we've really dug into it, your instinct as a comedian, you will just tell me the important parts because that performance part of you will be desperate not to bore me.
Yes.
So you'll just go, well, it's, it's the shoes and the foot and the leg. Yeah,
that's how I should start the joke.
And that's how you start the joke.
That's so clever.
Yeah.
Wow, I love that.
It's such a good way to get into something, isn't it? So if I, even say that, say that Barbie Oppenheimer routine, like it just starts with the sentence of, I got profiled at the cinema, and then it just kind of makes it muscular of, I was at the cinema, I was in the line, minding my own business, and it's, but in my head I'm thinking of, people, friends like yourself who know the routine and I don't want to bore you because you know the routine. So I'm just going to quickly get to
the
important bits.
Yes.
And that helps so you lose that stuff.
I'm trying to write headlines for all of my jokes.
Yeah.
So that's what I've been doing lately.
Yeah.
Is going back through all my stuff and trying to give them a headline.
Yes. Yeah. Great. And then it's like, boom.
Yeah.
Routine.
Yeah.
Yeah. That works.
Yeah. But I find it really difficult.
Right. Yeah. Well, yeah. Just imagine, who's the person that you least want to bore in your life. Imagine you're telling them.
That's great.
And then you'll
You'll fix it.
You'll lose the fluff. just through fear and instinct. We should finish up, but where are you taking the show? Are you going to the Adelaide Fringe or where are you about?
I'm doing Melbourne.
Great.
First 2 weeks.
Yep. Whereabouts?
At Storyville.
Great.
Yep. Excited.
That'll be fun.
And then Sydney Comedy Festival on the 25th and 26th of April.
Yeah, great.
At the Enmore Theatre.
Great. Oh, which room are you in?
I'm in the Wild.
Oh, yeah.
Fire, the, yeah.
Yeah, great.
The cool one. I love that one.
Yeah, it is a cool one.
Yeah.
And where's the... Are you back on socials?
I am.
Right.
Trying to sell this show.
Yeah, absolutely. Which are the socials that people should find you on?
Oh, Instagram's the best one. Just Steph Broadbridge.
Yep. Instagram seems to be the best one. Like, I feel like it's the most relaxed one. Or is that where you got trolled?
Yeah, I got trolled across all platforms.
Right. Yeah. Look, I'm not saying I haven't been trolled across, but I feel like there's less of it on Instagram. Or am I wrong about that?
I think it's easier to monitor.
Right, yeah. Yeah. Man, are you still on Twitter?
No, I had to leave that one.
Oh, I've done a pretty good... By the way, I refuse to call it X. I know it's called X, but fuck that, it's Twitter.
Yeah.
I've done a pretty good job of, across all socials of bending the algorithm to, like on Instagram, mm-hmm. it's interspecies friendships, like a goat and a duck, or a cat and a budgie,
So
those things are constantly coming my way.
Great.
It's basketball and it's old comic book covers. And it's like, great, this is handy. But on Twitter, it's amazing the amount of people that I just stopped following who are driving me nuts who keep coming up in my feed, even though I've stopped following them. Because there's the suggested and there's the following aspects to it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, why do you keep suggesting someone who, like, why is this algorithm suggesting someone to me that I stopped following?
That's wild.
Don't want to be
work on your algorithm, Elon.
Yeah, mate. I'm sure he is listening to this podcast. So, weirdly, it feels like if any extremely powerful person was to actually hear this podcast, I feel like Elon fucking trawling would find this.
Yeah, he does have the energy of someone that, like, Googles himself.
Yeah. Pick something at random and then goes for it. So Instagram's the best place to find you. That's great. Well, it's lovely to have you on the podcast.
Yeah,
and I would say keep an eye out for whatever your next gig is. But you gig so much, people in Sydney will be able to find you, right?
Yeah, I'm on.
Yeah, well, this is going to go up the first week of March. So do you have gigs? What gigs do you have off the top of your head?
I'm on every night, but I'm doing the Comedy Store run on the from the 12th of March.
Oh yeah, great.
Yeah.
Great. That's always fun. Do you know who you're on with?
No, I haven't seen yet.
Oh.
Excited. Someone good probably.
Someone good. Isn't it great to get the list and either go, this is fantastic, I love all of these people, and sometimes go, well, I don't need to stick around and see the second half.
No, that's better, because then I'm like, oh, I'm going to do really well.
Perfect. All right. Thanks, Steph.
Thanks.
See, I told you, an absolute delight. I think she's great. I love the way that she looks at the world, and I think she's got a unique voice, and I find that really comforting and entertaining to be around. So I hope you enjoyed hearing her talk about her life story and discussing this new show that's coming up, which does sound pretty intriguing, I reckon. It's amazing how I can live in this little Hamo bubble and I can miss so much. So, it was interesting to hear some of that stuff. And I had no idea about that story, about the online stuff. So, we should check out the show and give her all our support. She's great. Coming up in the next couple of podcasts, I went and saw The Zone of Interest and Dune 2. I'm going to try and record a podcast about my thoughts on that for later this week. Two fascinating movies
Very different films, and yeah, far out. What an experience at both. So I want to have a chat about that. And then I've been holding off on my best of movies for 2023. I know it's March, but it's my podcast. And I just wanted to wait until the Oscars were over, and then we can contrast my list against who wins awards, etc. So that will come out next week. And over at Patreon, I haven't made up a mind which one is going to be next, but we've been putting up some old Can You Take This Photo, Please interviews from 10, 11, 12 years ago. They're fascinating to listen to. And especially with people that you've, you know, followed for the past decade or more. And it's interesting to hear where they were at. It's interesting to hear where I was at. And then contrast it to where we are today. So that will be going up soon. If you're interested in joining the Patreon side, it's patreon.com/JustinHamilton. And you get all of the podcasts here that are ad-free. You also get free tickets to shows, not just mine. We've been getting some free tickets for people like Cameron James and who else? We had some Rob Carlton, that's right, for the Adelaide Fringe. So free tickets get thrown out here and there to help you out with some stuff. And, of course, when I'm putting on shows as well, you'll be getting first opportunities to be put on the door for those too. And yes, all sorts of things go on over there. Yeah. So anyway, let's just leave it at that. Sometimes comedians go in on the hard sell and it's like, fuck, life is tough. Just let people know it's there. And if they're interested, they'll go over. And if you're not, that is totally fine. You can just listen to the podcast here. All right. I have one more week of working on Dancing with the Stars. And that has been a job. No, it's actually been all right, but it's very tiring. So I will probably keep the thoughts and ideas to a minimum for now. But looking forward to getting back to you next week. And I reckon that Oscars/Best of 2023, I reckon it'll come out on the Wednesday. So look for that on the 13th. Because I'll be finishing up Dancing with the Stars on the Tuesday. If I have time, I'll record it Monday night for you, so then you have it a bit earlier. But it'll be the Wednesday at the latest. All right. I hope you're well. I hope you're kicking goals. I hope everyone's treating you nicely and that you're having a good time. Until then.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.